Deng stepping up. Would have been a pep talk for him from the coaching staff at halftime. Lovely pass allowing D'Agostino to face forward and wriggle his way through. Nick D'Agostino with a massive goal for Australia. Australia are through. The 12-year wait is over. The Olyroos return to the Olympic stage at Tokyo 2020.
Hello and welcome to the Olyroos podcast, where we take football fans inside camp in Japan to help you get to know our players that little bit better. My name is Chris Carulli, and on this episode, I'll catch up with Nathaniel Atkinson, a man that's had a rollercoaster few years to reach this point. Just a couple of months ago, Nat thought his Olympic dreams had been crushed after suffering yet another hamstring injury. But he worked his way back and got himself fit in time for the A-League finals. And as they say, the rest is history. Off the back of that memorable grand final triumph, we also cover growing up in Tasmania and the few sporting role models that emerge from that state, as well as the challenges of moving away from home at the age of 14 and graduating through to the first team at Melbourne City. So without any further ado, check out our full chat now. Nathaniel Atkinson, thanks for your time. It certainly has been a whirlwind few weeks, from that A-League grand final being the best on ground to this Olympic selection now and all that happening in a matter of days. I mean, do you still feel like you're on a bit of a high from it all?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, it's been a good couple of weeks. Obviously, win the grand final and obviously getting the selection to come here as well. So, yeah, it's good. You haven't really had much time to sink it in yet, but hopefully we go far in the Olympics, and when that's done, I can let it all sink in, yeah.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm guessing you were probably in the middle of the celebrations when you found out the news.
Yeah, definitely. You know, obviously we won the grand final and we had a couple of days off just to celebrate with the team, and yeah, got a call from Arnie probably halfway through to say that I was coming here. So yeah, only had a couple of days to celebrate, and then I had to let the boys keep partying while I hopped on the flight.
Similar case to Tom Glover, as we've heard as well. Did you find out alongside some of those other City boys as well? And what was all of your reaction together?
Yeah, I think we all got calls that are like, or within an hour or so. I don't know who got the call before me or Glover or whatever, but obviously Connor was already over, so it was just me and Glover, and we had a bit of a hug, and that's about it, and kept on enjoying ourselves.
Yeah, fair enough. And go back to the start of your story, as we've heard mentioned in commentary plenty of times, the boy from Tasmania, as they say. Riverside Olympic is where it started before you joined the NTC program there. I guess, what are your recollections from coming through in Tassie?
It's been a bit of a journey, I guess. I moved away from home when I was 14, and then moved to Melbourne when I was 16. Obviously, coming from little old Tassie, you know, you never think that these things are possible. Yeah, it's been a long journey. Obviously, coming through the City youth team into the first team, and then also going through the Young Socceroos and all that too. So, yeah, it's been a long journey, but, you know, we're still all young, so hopefully there's plenty more to come.
Were there any other whether footballers or sporting figures from Tassie that you looked up to, or any other stories that you'd heard of?
From Tassie, not really. I think there was the likes of, you know, Ricky Ponting. I don't really know who else. There was a few cricketers, but yeah. Soccer-wise, I can't remember the guy's name, the last one to be Olympian, but obviously there's not many, so it makes it all a bit more, you know, surreal, and makes me a lot more prouder to be part of it, yeah.
Just in general and on a broader scale, were there any Socceroos that you looked up to when you were coming through?
Yeah, I guess the whole Socceroos, you know, when they went through, I guess you could say the golden generation with the likes of Harry Kewell, Mark Viduka, my agent now, Vinny Grella, obviously Lucas Neal, Tim Cahill, you know, you'll get raised up watching those sort of boys. And I think, you know, at the time when they were at the peak of their powers in Europe, it was definitely a great time to be watching football, and hopefully where the next boys to come through is the next golden generation. Yeah,
yeah, fingers crossed, and yeah, it would certainly be special to be part of something like that. Obviously, you've overcome plenty of obstacles in recent times. April, yeah. That hamstring injury for you, as it happened, could you just talk us through, I guess, how that played on your mind, and was Olympics always there at the back of your mind?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, when it happened, it was early on into the game, and Yeah, it was painful at the time, but I think a lot of the tears were of the fact that there was a lot of things coming up in the year, obviously with the Olympics, A-League Grand Finals, even possibly Socceroos. So it was one of the, it was definitely an emotional time for myself. You know, it was my second or third hamstring injury for the season. So it was, definitely a kick in the guts. But I think it also was a motivation for me to come back in a quick time frame as such and come back stronger, ready to be put my name out for the Olympics. And, you know, a lot of things went my way with a few COVID outbreaks, delayed of the finals, and it just gave me more time to come back and get match fit to come into the Olympics.
Yeah, awesome. And then obviously that led to the grand final. So you described in an older interview that last year's 2020 grand final was the biggest game of your career. Something tells me this one might just beat that, coming home with that win and the Joe Marsden medal as well on an individual level. Is that the best moment of your career so far?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, last season was we made a grand final and we were on a high, and then to finish the grand final with a loss, it was disappointing, but also a good experience at the time, and we definitely benefited from it. And obviously coming away with the minor premiers and then the grand final win, definitely the greatest moment of my career. And obviously the win, the Joe Marsden medal, is also a cherry on top. But for me, definitely just winning those two trophies with the lads is definitely the pinnacle of my career so far, yeah.
And during that grand final, we saw you play in a front three last few weeks for City. Obviously, you've also played a bit at right back and a bunch of other positions. Is there somewhere that is your favourite role to play in a team?
A bit in between that, winger and right back. So a wing back would be the best way to describe it. But I've always been a pretty versatile player. I've grown up being a midfielder and winger, and then obviously got converted into an attacking fullback. For me, I love attacking, dribbling, you know, getting forward, but also like doing the defensive duties as well. So a bit of both in the wing-back position would be the best position for me, I reckon.
Yeah, fair enough. And then coming into camp now, there's a huge kind of Melbourne City connection throughout the squad, players you've obviously played with this season, but also as a youngster. Yeah. Does that kind of help everyone settle, and is it cool to see everyone around the traps again?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, we've got a lot of Melbourne City current and ex-players. You know, obviously, Denny and Dylan moved on as well. But, you know, this team's a very, very tight-knit group. I haven't met some of the players yet. And the first day I came in, it just felt like we were at home. Obviously, knowing a lot of the boys for 5-6 years, it's definitely handy to come into an environment like this, yeah.
One last question, looking forward to this tournament now, having that chance to perform on the biggest stage for your nation, to pull on that green and gold, what does that as a whole mean to you?
Oh, it means the world. Obviously, when you put on that green and gold jersey, I don't think there's a better feeling in the world, you know, playing for your country. Obviously, you know, winning trophies and stuff for your club is you know, amazing, but you know, when you get to represent your country and a nation as a whole, it's definitely an amazing feeling. It'll be a great tournament. Hopefully we can do the country proud and see what happens.
Yeah, everyone can't wait to see what happens back home as well. Daniel, thanks for your time and congratulations on everything you've achieved and everything that's to come.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
That's all we have time for in this episode. Thank you for listening, and if you enjoyed this one, make sure to check out all of our exclusive Olympic-themed content. From podcasts to in-depth reads and everything in between, we've got you covered ahead of Tokyo 2020. So get behind the team, and until next time, go the Ollie Roos.